As you and I prepare our hearts and minds, let us prepare our heart and mind for service to God. Let us prepare our hearts and minds for service to one another. You see, if you will not serve God by serving your fellow man, you will not serve God. If you will not be in service and offer yourself in service where you are, what makes you think you would do it if you were somewhere else? It's sort of like the folks that I've ran into over the years who take off to go find themselves. I've got to go find myself. I've often wondered why they all head south to find themselves. Or to Hawaii. Yeah, it's a good place to find yourself. But you see, the self you're looking for is right there. You are yourself. The great mistake that you and I make is thinking that we are less than someone else. We are each one created in the image of God and by God to be who we are. Man, I have tried to preach that my whole ministry. Let each person be who they are. For it is in who you are that I will see receive that blessing from you. Not for someone you're trying to be. And God says, I want you to know how I've done this. At the end, or let's say at the beginning, when God created and man became existent, God had created for man the most beautiful place to live that mind or spirit could ever imagine. A place called Garden of Eden. And God, in his wisdom and in his great love for the most blessed of his creation, us, wanted to give to us and show to us his best. I love you so much. I've created this beautiful garden for you. And not only do I love you that much that I created it, this is before sin began. See, Adam and Eve are in the garden. Everything there is good. There was nothing bad about anything. The bad part came when man disobeyed God's command of don't. So obviously, from the beginning of the age, man has never liked don't. We still don't like it. It drives us wild. But in that garden, God said, you can. I've placed you here, but you know one of the greatest blessings that Adam and Eve found in the Garden of Eden? God came down and walked with them in the garden. A lot of gardens in Scripture, isn't there? God came down and walked with him in the garden. As he's walking with them in the garden, can't you imagine the conversation? As they're looking at the greatest of all beauty, everything is perfect. Well, what can mess up everything that's perfect? Man. But God, through pure love, I give this to you. I give this to you. This is what it's all about. And as God looked at the heart of man, God saw in that heart good. Now hear me. God saw good in Adam and Eve. until bad entered. Now think of this. Everything was so perfect. God is walking and talking with man. God today wants to talk with us. Now, I know that prayer is what we consider talking with God. But prayer goes in multiple ways. Prayer can be in a song. Prayer can be in a thought. Talking with God can be in words that you have on your vocal cord. To be a part of God, as God says, "Won't you come?" we are to say, "Lord, I come. I believe. I believe that you love me." After all, God had given mankind the best of all, the greatest garden. They didn't even have to worry about a thunderstorm, because God watered it from beneath. His children didn't even have to get wet. You know what he wanted them to do? To enjoy what he was giving them. But then sin entered. Oh, that horrible word called sin. Sin is a horrible act from the adversary of Jesus Christ. We know him as the devil, Satan, Beelzebub. We know him as pure evil. Well, that pure evil could not touch the Son of God. But that pure evil had decided to touch the children of God, the brothers and sisters to his Son. Satan not going to mess with Jesus. He already got kicked out of heaven. But then we came along, precious in the sight of the Lord. Do you know why the scripture says precious in the sight of God are the death of his saints? Woo! Think of that. Precious in the sight of God is the death of his saints. Why? He's got me in his arms. He's got you in his arms. Welcome to my garden. I started you out in perfection. I am going to show you perfection. I will show you perfection as I have the angels transport you in the presence of my Father, who I'm setting the right hand of. Right into the presence of Almighty God. And I am going to show you how much I love you. Because the beauty that you've heard me speak of, the beauty that you read about in Scripture, I now give to you and show you. Freely I give. Adam and Eve saw it. Oh, it was awesome. But I got news for you. You ain't seen nothing yet. You grammar educators, forgive me. But you ain't. The day is coming when you shall see the total perfection of Almighty God to the point to where you and I can appreciate it. Adam and Eve had never heard a lie. Did you ever think about that? They'd only heard the truth from God. God warned them, stay away from that one plant, that wonder. Stay away from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For when you partake of it, you will become as we are. Free will, freedom to choose. God warns. Do we not hear that warning today continually? But God says, I have walked with you. I have talked with you. And then sin comes in. Man's put out of the garden. And we see what we call the Old Testament in existence. And we see then God has chosen to walk and to talk with certain personalities. God would give His Holy Spirit, and His Holy Spirit would be poured into that personality for a purpose. And the Holy Spirit of God would remain in that personality until whatever the mission was taken care of. And then He would withdraw. But God walked with each individual personality of His choosing. And each one of those personalities was to proclaim something. And that proclamation was this: the day is coming when I will enter the heart of man and I will dwell in the heart of man. I will take up my abode in the heart of man. I will be in you. That day's coming. All the old prophets spoke of the day. The proclamation was loud and clear. And God was going to show the world, those that I call, those that I love, those that I charge with a mission, I will be with them and they shall complete the mission I put them in charge of. They will not fail. Abraham, I know that you're nervous. I know that fear is upon you because I have just told you, leave your family. Walk away from all that you have and see what I am getting ready to give you. For I will bless you among all. I will make nations of you. So many people are going to come from what you're getting ready to do is to trust me. Believe me, Abraham. Believe me. Abraham walked away. But he didn't do that on his own. Folks, Abraham was raised in idolatry. Abraham was an idolater. Abraham was a human being. But something happened. Someone from the garden came walking one day. And that one that came walking that day is the same one that was in the garden. And that one that came walking touched the heart of a man we call Abraham and said, I will make you father of all nations. I'm going to bless you mightily. What must I do, Lord? Turn and walk away from what you see and walk in a direction of what you cannot see. Trust me. And the Bible tells us Abraham believed God and he walked. And as he walked away from his own family, as he walked away from his upbringing, walking to a place he knew not where, God showed him a garden. God has a garden in mind for each and every one of us. God Almighty didn't create the Garden of Eden for naught. He created it for you and for me. He created it out of love. And then God, throughout all the Old Testament, He would go enter the heart of different individuals. Enter the heart of Moses. Moses, I have a job for you to do. Moses, I'm going to show you a land of milk and honey. promised land. Moses, I got a garden waiting for you. Oh, it wasn't going to be a garden on earth. Moses had to keep walking. Moses had to keep climbing. And one day he climbed on a mountaintop, and the scripture says, and God buried him. He saw his garden. You see, the blessing from God is talking with God. God has always throughout history come down and walked and talked with us. We need to grasp that. In your prayer life, in your daily walk, don't you catch yourself talking to God? I do all the time. I do it in the middle of the night. Faith says, what? I wasn't talking to you. Well, there ain't but two people in that room. But think of it. God wants to hear from us. And not only do we talk to God, God talks back. The world say that we're delusional. We believe in a deity. We believe in a God. And not only do we believe in a God, those Christians believe that they can talk to that God, and that God talks back to them. Yep, I believe that 100%. And I believe this, God wants to talk to me. I saw it in Scripture, Job. Job. Read the book of Job. Man, that's horrible. Read the book of Job. Job is in a conversation with God and Job's friends. Job is talking, communicating with God. God's talking to Job. Job's talking to God. And Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, his friends, they're talking to Job. Job, you're wrong. Clean your act up, Job. Job had a garden he was going to. Are you hearing me? It was the perfection of God. And you know, throughout the whole book of Job, you find out God put up with all that foolishness. He listened to Job's friends. Now, they did get in trouble with God at the end. And here's what God told them. All that you have told my servant Job is not right. And then when I was studying all of that, I thought, okay, wait a minute. Make sure you don't be preaching on what wasn't right, Larry. You see what I mean? Man was talking, God was talking. God comes down and looks at Job and confronts Job. Hey, Job, where were you? Job was not around when God created Adam and Eve. He was not around when God created the garden, when God created the wind, when God created all that exists. Job wasn't around. So you'll listen to all of this as God's asking Job these questions. Can't you picture Job? Folks, he's already got balls on top of his head, the bottom of his feet. He's in a mess, sitting in an ash pile. And God's running all of this down. But do you know what? All the time God's doing this, God's loving Job. Because Job never one time disbelieved God. Not once. He wasn't shaky. Even when Job's wife came out and said, do you still hold on to your integrity? Curse God and die. And Job says, well, you speak as one of the foolish women speak, or one of the lost women is the way that would translate, speak. You're speaking the ways of the world. Does not God bless? And will you not receive bad things when God gives you good? Do you not see in your life that God has blessed you with a garden? That garden is in your own life, folks. That garden is in the vision of tomorrow. But I'm here to tell you that tomorrow has come. For all the prophets, all of the from the beginning of time, pointed to the time which we are living. And I'll never quit preaching about it. The time of the church, the birth of Jesus Christ. And when God looked down and he sent his son, that was God's promise. My son will come and he will pay the penalty for your sins, because I got a garden waiting for you. God's got a garden waiting for me. I got a garden waiting for you. But my son's the only one that can carry you to it. Through him, you will have this hope. Jesus has come. And Jesus teaches. He came. He was born. He taught. And his disciples finally came up to him one day and he said, Lord, teach us to pray. I'm going to do one part of the Lord's Prayer because I want you to pay attention to it. How did Jesus begin this? They want to know how to pray. Matthew 6, verse 9. In this manner, this is Jesus speaking, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Okay, wait a minute now. The disciples said, teach us to pray. And Jesus said, wait a minute. Before I can teach you anything, you need to understand something. You must relate to our God as Father. My Father in heaven, holy is your name. Our Father in heaven. Jesus said, he's our Father now. Disciples, oh, you're not going to picture him having to slap them around a little. Pay attention. Our Father. How does a father act? If I'm to look to my God as my Father, as Jesus says, does not a father always, is he not always there to forgive? Is he not always there to make things better for the child? Is he not always there wanting to see the smile on that child's face when he talks to him and pats him on the shoulder and says, it's going to be okay? I know it seems like your whole world has caved in around you, but it's going to be okay. That's what a father does. That's a talk. That's the way our Father talks to us. And Jesus says, in order for you to be able to relate to the holiness of God, you must relate to him as your Father. For because I am his son, you are my brothers, I prayed the prayer, Father, that as we are, so shall they be. We are together. He's my Father in heaven. All the time I cry out to God the Father, Father, have mercy on me. I cannot count the times a day that I will pray that prayer. I cannot count the times that I will cry out to my Father in heaven to give me the words for that moment, the message for that hour, the strength to keep going, the courage and the boldness to stand strong for the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's who we are. We are the children of Almighty God. So you remember this. God wants to talk to you. You're in the garden of the world right now, but there's a beautiful garden waiting for us. You're not there yet. But when you know Jesus, you're headed that way. And yes, something else I have learned. We will know each other in heaven. We will know about situations that took place on earth. But you've got to remember, we're different then. We will not have those human desires. We have a godly desire, and that is ultimately love. The greatest that you love your wife or your husband here now cannot come close to how close you're going to be one day. Because that closeness in heaven supersedes marriage and giving in marriage on earth. That doesn't mean anything. It's the relationship that you have. Got it, a garden coming. And in that garden is the ultimate of all. It's our Savior who looks at us and says, won't you come? So God proclaims to us, listen well, He wants us to walk and talk with Him boldly. Hebrews 10:19-22. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place. That's the presence of God. Because of the blood of Jesus. By His death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. The curtain separated man from coming in the presence of God. When Christ conquered all on the cross, that curtain was ripped, tore down, so that you may boldly go. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, that Jesus, He's in charge of God's house. That's the one that told you, you've got a place for you. Let us go right into the presence of God. You got me? With sincere hearts, fully trusting Him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean. And our bodies have been washed in the pure water. The blood of Jesus, you're washed clean, Christian. You can boldly call out to God the Father, always in respect, always in high honor, but you boldly go where the first man went, Jesus. Jesus boldly came to earth so that you and I can boldly stand in the presence of God, not by what we have done, but because we believe what Jesus has done, and we're washed clean. And I call Him my Father. Father, will you get me out of this mess? How many times you said it? Lord, I promise, and God knows you're not going to keep that promise you're making right then. But what's the difference? He's Father. And He loves you. He looks through all the brokenness. And He loves you. And He says, come on, Larry. Got a garden waiting for you. All your friends, if they're not there, they soon shall be. Forever and ever, we will continually grow in love for one another, and in honor God our Father. For that's the way He set it up. And man cannot change the will of God. So let it be written, it shall be done. Guaranteed. And it don't get better than that.